If I were to come to you and say, I saw you with someone, why are you laughing? You're like, I saw you with someone. Oh, I saw you and at that restaurant, and you were making faces at each other, you know? If I were to ask you about someone that you love, I mean, you can tell me, of course, name and the like, but how would you describe that person? Tell me about him. Tell me about her. What are they like? What are they, you know? And of course, you can say, well, they're that tall, right? You can give me kind of some, just kind of basic factual. They're blonde by chemistry. But they're, no. You can kind of drop basic ideas about the person that you are describing, or like for many of us, when it comes to matters of the heart, you offer some deeper way of understanding it. She has the sweetest heart. He's earnest. He will tell you frankly what he means and not try to like deceive you about things. He's like, he's my rock. She's the one that is my sunshine. Do you know that song? You are my sunshine. Oh, you know it. You make me happy when skies are gray. That was sweet. Now, some of the young people in this room that have never heard that song, we'll have a little clinic for you in the back later on. But is your sweetheart literally sunshine? No. But we take those ideas, we take those understandings, and we use those to help us understand. That is a particular kind of language that we have. It's called metaphorical, allegorical language. Now, does this feel like English class in eighth grade? I'm sorry. But it's important that we kind of come and remember what is at work here as we come to remember what we understand about God, okay? So there is language that is used about God, and it's not fully about God. We will say in some parts of the Bible, God is like a rock. My God is my rock. Now, is God a rock? Do we get a rock and place it somewhere and say, there is God? No, but we say that God has attributes of, you know, difficult to move, always steadfast, right? The Lord is my, you've heard this is good, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord really a shepherd? Have you hung out with shepherds lately? Someone said no. Who was that? Smart person that was. The Lord is my shepherd, but not like, you know, the regular, ordinary guy who lives oftentimes in a tent or a trailer and is ostracized by society. That's what happens with contemporary shepherds or shepherds long ago. We know that from our Christmas story. Those guys were out of town, right? These are not people that you can trust. Is the Lord someone that we think of is not someone that we can trust? No, we understand there's other things about shepherds that we can see God at work. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He brings me beside still waters. He restores my soul, right? Right. And so we know things about the Lord and about God in the midst of all that. He's a potter. The Lord is a potter, molding and making and shaping us. Is he literally a potter? No. And then there's these allegories about who God is and what God's about. And the best way to kind of think of it is those stories that Jesus tells. There was a landowner who goes off to a foreign country, and he leaves his servants in charge of things. And to one he gives a little bit, and one he gives a little bit more, and one he gives a whole bunch to when he comes back. Do you know the story? Now, I'm not going to fully process that story, but Jesus constantly, he will not stop telling us these stories that are supposed to help us not just understand something little, but understand, you know, the kingdom of God. And people will scratch their head and go, well, how does that work? And it takes work to figure out that allegory, the allegorical language that is going on. End of English class. Do you get this? Okay. So then you will understand, I hope, when I say that as I reflect on the scripture and I reflect on who we are remembering today, that the Lord is a firefighter. I don't mean to be cute about that. I don't mean to be pandering. Please forgive me. But as I was reflecting about this, I was thinking about a firefighter charging up the ladder in that truck that is gone. Oh, the truck left. I was going to go for a ride. Get me on the apparatus later, okay? I imagined that person charging up that ladder. You know, just making it up a ladder is something that you just intend to do. You don't accidentally charge a ladder up, right? You got to work up to it. The Lord is like this work of care and comfort and rescue that leans in. Let me try this way. Oh, and by the way, I know, and please, I know that our firefighters are human beings too. You have hearts and brains and, you know, brave souls, but you confront things all the time. I carry things for sure. So what I'm saying is aspirational. And we are, none of us are ever perfect in our practice. But God is all in. The phrase that I used for today's sermon is fully involved. Now, I foolishly Googled what fully involved means. But let me ask, would someone like to share, what does it mean when we speak of, within the fire service, what it is to be fully involved? And Jim, I'm looking at you.
Structure is 100% on fire. Fire everywhere.
And it's not something that you can just casually walk up and throw a hose at. To be fully involved means that this is completely surrounded with difficulty and destruction, right? Does this feel familiar, maybe? I mean, sometimes our lives might not be fully involved, you know, the fire might not be consuming everything, but man, some days, some lives, some opportunities for destruction just are consuming. And whether it's a small thing or a large thing, the Lord is there for the fully involved. The Lord is fully involved. The Lord is all in, responding to the sweep of that, even when it's a total disaster, right? Total fire. So the Lord is bringing all the resources that are available to bear. Compassion, mercy. We talk about things called the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, mercy. Right? All these things that are needed, we have. Sometimes we have an abundance. And you go into the fire, fully involved or partially involved, right? You go into it irregardless of who it is, do y'all check the credit score of the person who is experiencing a fire before you go in? I mean, you can do that now. It's technically possible, you know, as you're rolling up to the scene, to get on the internet and go, oh, well, I guess he kind of deserved that. No, of course not. Of course not. Irregardless of who is inside or outside, the human life that is there is precious. The things of that human life, the possessions, the home, those are precious things. That's why you do that. I mean, the uniforms are cool, and the truck's amazing. The equipment's awesome. But you do that for the care of others. That passage that was so well read, thank you so much for reading it and showing up. You showed up for this one. Says the Lord, no, let me just read it again. He is the one who comforts us in all our trouble. So, you've got to listen for the so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. Even to the point, in God's case, of sacrifice. I mean, that's what we are ultimately claiming in the course of the Easter story. Jesus enters into the very brokenness in solidarity with us, enters into our fully involved mess, and gives himself for us. We put words around that. You know, Franny Cosby has a hymn, Rescue the Perishing. Y'all know that song? Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Do you remember this? Do y'all know this song? What's the next part? Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. The job is to enter into those fully involved moments in people's lives. Jesus does that. God, the Holy Spirit does that. But we're invited to be collaborators to show up in the midst of that too. To love as God loves. To be fully involved. So I would like to invite you, as we are preparing to move forward from this, to consider how it is that you have been rescued and who it is that is around you, whose life is smoking, whose life is fully on fire. And love them well. Bring the comfort that God would bring you to the best of your ability. And I invite you to this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.